Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the NARI REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bork from Quito, and joining me today is Michael Kessler, a partner in the New York office of Alston & Bird LLP. Prior to joining the firm last September, he served as counsel in the capital markets group of Clifford Chance in New York. Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm a listener of the podcast, so I'm delighted to be here.
Great. So I wanted to start by asking you, as someone who has helped broaden the scope of the REIT sector, where do you see the next wave of innovative ideas or concepts coming from?
Yeah, there's a couple of things I'm excited about. One is one area is in the clean energy or PACE loans. Many states have as some of the twin priorities to increase energy efficiency and clean energy, as well as creating jobs, and PACE programs have caught the attention of most states, with many of adopting that, having adopted them or actively considering them. So these are incentives and regulatory frameworks to enable private capital, in some cases mortgage REITs, to come in and fund energy efficiency improvements in residential properties and more recently in commercial properties. I've seen some analysts estimate hundreds of billions of dollars of such improvements needing funding over time. And one of the reasons folks are very excited about this is from a state's perspective, they're able to get to meet some of their goals or objectives in a tax-neutral way while creating the jobs needed to actually retrofit the buildings and install the solar panels or whatever the various HVAC and other improvements might be. So PACE loans achieve energy efficiency improvements in a cash flow neutral way. The loans from private capital are repaid through an increase in the building owner's tax bill, but often the increase is offset by a reduction in the energy bill for the owner. And the capital providers' loans are repaid when the municipalities and governments effectively assign the tax revenue back to their funding source. So the loan is very senior in the capital stack and generally senior to the first mortgage. It's clearly, this area has clearly got a lot of attention and interest from many of the counterparties and in some instances mortgage REITs as capital providers. So, I think fitting this relatively new asset class into the REIT tax kind of asset and compliance test has required some fresh thinking by lawyers like me, but certainly an area to keep your eyes on. So another area, Sarah, is opportunity zones. I mean, clearly this has got a lot of press recently, and it's very exciting. And we want to make sure that of the menu of options that capital providers and asset managers are considering for this asset class, that they take into account REITs as well. As we all know, there are very specific and nuanced REIT tax rules, so not every opportunity zone strategy is right for a REIT. For example, a fix and flip strategy may not be tailor-made for a REIT structure, but many other strategies could work nicely using a REIT platform and potentially see better valuations. So this is very exciting. It has, in my opinion, kind of a Silicon Valley feel in so much as it's generated a ton of excitement as folks are racing out of the gate to position themselves and grab market share kind of while the rules are being written. So very exciting and no doubt an area to keep your eye on.
Okay. And another area that you've been involved in a lot is M&A and IPOs. How do you see activity in the REIT space for the rest of this year and into next year?
Yeah, it's been a good quarter, and we expect activity to continue to be strong. One of the things we saw in the first quarter is REIT valuations improve. It's been quite fun and exciting seeing many REITs, which were previously trading at a discount to book value, surpass and now trading at a premium to book value. So a lot of REITs went out on the back of this good valuation to raise capital and raise equity capital. So we expect that to continue as valuations remain strong. There's a good appetite for public shares of REITs. There's decent appetite for debt instruments and convertible notes as well. So it's been a good quarter. We hope that will continue. M&A activity has been strong as well. I think many REITs have used as a currency their shares, and when the currency has more value as it's realized in the last few months, that's served a sort of wind at the back from an M&A perspective. So we expect that to continue for the remainder of the year.
And what are some of the most challenging or perhaps noteworthy legal and tax issues facing REITs today?
Yeah, a couple that come to mind. One is the tax reform that went into effect in 2018. I have to give a shout out to NAREIT. I think through the work of NAREIT and some others, the importance of REITs in the broader economy was, I think, articulated nicely to those writing the tax bill. So from a top line perspective, I think a lot of the rules as they apply to REITs and the dividends made by REITs very beneficial. But I think the devil's in the detail, as they say. So the REIT tax rules were complicated to begin with, and so when there's a moving of the goalpost, so to speak, there's a lot to unpack, and so we've been making sure that our clients have fully grasped those and are taking advantage of some of the avenues that exist within the law. So that's the first thing. I think as a REIT tax lawyer, that's really been an area of focus. I think the other thing that's top of mind is sort of ESG and it being March with shareholder meetings kind of around the corner, there's a lot of focus on ESG issues by investors and therefore by management of REITs and where to strike the balance. And there's also, the thought in anticipation of shareholder activism and what's on shareholders' minds, where to strike the balance between, giving shareholders a greater say in issues and greater access versus companies maintaining sort of their existing corporate governance profile and retaining authority to sort of pursue the objectives that it sees as sort of the best one. So I think striking that balance is always a focus, and I think particularly so amongst investors in some of the services out there that look to great companies on the corporate governance and sort of the access to government amongst shareholders.
Michael, thank you so much for your time today.
It was a pleasure, Sarah. Hope to talk to you again soon.
And to our listeners, be sure to visit REIT.com for previous episodes of the REIT Report.